You are listening to Joshua Hockett and the Big Bite Podcast.
All right, guys, this is Josh Hockett from St. Louis, Missouri of The Big Bite. I've got no one else than Nate Figueroa. I have not met Nate before, unlike some of the other people that I've interviewed so far. But after watching probably 50 videos of Nate, some multiple times, I feel like I know the guy pretty well. I want to get to know more about him. I'm going to make sure that you get to know more about him in this quick little interview we have. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Nate and let him introduce himself. Nate, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's new with you? Can you tell people where you calling in from? Where do you reside? How old are you? And what is your occupation away from the table when you're not eating?
Okay, so I am 30 years old, which makes I feel old. I'm still not used to being 30. I'm in Florida, Pompano Beach. I'm a part-time driver for building material around here. The other part-time is YouTube. I want to say YouTube probably takes up more time than anything for me when it comes to editing, filming, and everything.
You know, between you and a few others that I watch pretty regularly, having tried to do and make my dent in the YouTube community, I have a huge appreciation for the editing side of making videos. The making the video is the fun part. The editing, it's like, it's an extra hour for every hour of filming that you did. So, and by the way, I gotta say, your drone skills in your videos are amazing. Like, the videography of it alone makes them worth watching, let alone the eating challenges that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's definitely extremely time consuming. Like you said, the filming part is the fun and easy part. And then the actual, like, going to the computer and getting lost and editing for, I don't know, a good like 10 plus hours is the hard part.
Because of guys like you with video quality of what you're doing, it made me literally toss in the towel and say, why would anyone watch my video when there's this guy out here with this drone making these kick-ass videos? So thanks for that, Nate.
No. Well, it's not always quality, you know what I mean? Like, I would say content overpowers quality. If you have good content, people don't really care about the quality, but I do appreciate your kind words.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry if I made you quit.
That is true. It's just, yeah, I like to, you know, if I'm going to do something, I want it to be the best, and knowing that there's people out there doing what you are, it's like, I'll wait until I can at least try to compete with it. You got good content and some awesome video skills, so anyone that hasn't seen them, they need to, because it's worth it alone just for the entertainment value, let alone the content. With that said, let's jump into question one here, Nate. The one that everyone's always curious about, who might not know about you yet, or any competitive eater. How the heck did you get into this? Because it's not necessarily something everyone gets into. What's your story?
I fell into, like, the whole eating world by accident, I guess. I was on Facebook. I was really already into lifting because, like, fitness is a huge part of my life, and it's always going to be a huge part of my life. But I was on Facebook, and one of my friends at the gym posted this picture of a humongous burger, and my friend, granted, he was like a little, like, really small guy, and I'm in my head, I'm like, there is no way this kid is going to be able to eat that giant sandwich. So I immediately DM'd him, and I'm like, yo, are you really going to do that? Because if you are, let me come with you. I thought it would be a cool to actually be able to see it. And it turns out that challenge didn't exist anymore, but we both agreed on trying. Like, I said that I wanted to try it for my YouTube channel. So we both found this, like, 6 pound or 7 pound enchilada around my area, and we ended up going to do that, and it kind of was just all uphill from there.
You beat it? You took it down?
Yes, we did.
And did that just kind of evoke, like, hey, that was kind of fun, I'm kind of good at this, I want to try it again?
It was definitely fun, and I was like, whoa, I knew I could eat a lot of food, but I didn't realize I could eat that much food. I think it was a 6 pound enchilada, that's what it was. And it terrified me when I saw it in person. I was like, holy cow. And after doing it, it's just, I was already doing YouTube videos. It was 100% fitness, that's it. And I thought it would be good content to do for my YouTube channel, and it kind of just turned into like a series, and then just took over my channel.
I did not know. I thought you kind of got your start with the food challenges. I didn't know that you did all the fitness content beforehand, so that's kind of interesting to know. But this goes with that similar vein with the other people I've talked to in previous episodes, and the listeners will know. All of you seem to have a common thread of fitness being a part of your lifestyle, which is, in my opinion, what I think allows you guys to do what you do with without any major repercussions and not, you know, ballooning up like everybody assumes should be happening. So I want to point that out,
yeah.
that fitness is kind of the bedrock of who you guys are, and the eating is something that happens aside from that.
Yeah.
Let me ask this, just out of my own curiosity, maybe some of the listeners. Have you ever competed or anything like that within fitness-type realms or powerlifting, weightlifting, bodybuilding, anything?
at one point, I really wanted to do bodybuilding shows, and I think I was definitely lean enough, and I feel like I was muscular enough. Not typically bodybuilding, maybe physique, or the new, I think there's a new category called...
Classic physique.
I think I may have been able to do that, but I mean, that was, this is a few years back when classic didn't exist. I did want to dip my toes into it. I ended up not doing it, though, because, I don't know, I had friends that have gone through that lifestyle, and it's a lot of work to be able to do that, but I did think about it. And yeah. Powerlifting, I did think about as well. I just got too many injuries. People still ask me every now and then if I'd ever do a show. I don't know.
What do you enjoy most about eating contests or eating challenges? You get tons of free t-shirts, free meals, the competitive spirit. What is it that brings you back?
You said the free meals part. But one, it actually being a challenge. When it's a challenge and you're actually able to do it, that's a good feeling when you actually beat something that you kind of went in kind of scared about or didn't think that you could do. And there's been several occasions where I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't even know what I'm getting myself into. And then after the fact, I'm like, holy cow, I did it. so it's a weird accomplishment when you eat something. It's not necessarily just eating, it's anything in life when you do something that you didn't think you could do. But when you eat something, it's like, whoa. And then you think about it, you're like, wow, you just surprised yourself. Also, eating different foods. Like the foods that I haven't eaten before. That's also fun as well.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you actually touched on one area that I never thought about till right now. I only did 24 challenges over 2014 when I was put on a bet with some friends, but I felt really let down when I lost one. I felt bad, like a sports event. Like I felt like I failed. And I think that's kind of that competitive nature that some of us all have. And it doesn't matter if it's golf or football or whatever, if it's a food challenge, some people don't like to lose. It's still competition either way.
No, you're absolutely right. I did a challenge, it was like a few weeks back in Miami. I definitely underestimated it. It was a pretty good size challenge. And they wanted me to complete it in 30 minutes. And I was like, I gave it my all. And the restaurant really, 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 really wanted me to actually complete it because they just wanted to see somebody eat it. I failed it. I ran out of time. Well, I mean, I gave up actually 22 minutes in. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to eat the rest of it. So I kind of threw in the towel before I was able to expire the time. And I felt like, I don't know, I was kind of bummed out. No, not kind of. I was definitely bummed out that I let them down and I let myself down. And I went back like a week later to do it again.
Did you get the redemption?
Yeah, I got the redemption. There were slight changes that kind of bummed me out about the sandwich, but I did get the redemption.
Nice. What, if any, strategy do you use for food challenges?
Well, there's a few strategies out there. I'll let you know about the first strategies that kind of like helped me out, like eating large amounts of food. You know Randy Santel, right?
Oh, yes, I do. He's actually the very first eater I ever looked into and started to learn from.
That's exactly where I learned my techniques from. So he has, you know, that website, foodchallenges.com, and he has a bunch of articles and a bunch of good information on how to do it. You know, I would say the more healthy way, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Eating vegetables, you know, like things, fibrous foods, like a little bit of water, things like that to help kind of stretch the stomach. And that's kind of how I started, like where I got my rules and how to do this from. Well, I definitely use some of those tactics still. And then, you know, there's your own ways of doing it. And everybody has their own techniques that they keep pretty private.
What works for one person may not work at all for another. So it does depend on the person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Favorite foods and worst foods within a challenge. What is your favorite challenge and worst challenge to date?
Well, I thought about this one. I can tell you my worst food, which I'll say later. But my favorite food, I would say, is pizza and burritos. Like, I just have a thing for pizza and burritos. But, you know, the funny thing is, my favorite all-time challenge I ever completed was a barbecue challenge.
Really? Was it like one of those ones where it's a diversity of all different barbecue foods?
Yes, it was that. And it was a pretty giant-sized challenge. That was one of those challenges I went in thinking, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to beat this. And I beat it in the full hour. It took me the full hour. But what made it a very good challenge is, like you said, there was just a mixture of different meats. There was corn, beans, slaw. There was just a bunch of different stuff, with different flavors that made it very, very enjoyable to eat.
Yeah, I can totally echo that. There's one barbecue challenge that I did do in San Diego. When they set it down, I was like, I just screwed up. This was a bad, bad choice. But because of the very simple fact that you never had more than, you know, 10, 15 bites of one food before you got to move on to something else, the diversity literally pulled me through it because it never got old. So I could see where that would be a favorite, assuming you have good barbecue in the first place.
And the barbecue I had was good. But yeah, the flavor fatigue, eating one type of flavor, that'll get you.
Even if you've got the room for it, it just does not taste good anymore. And then if you're full on top of it, it's like, well, shit. Now you're up against the wall.
You start struggling.
So worst food, anyone that's watched even one or two of your challenges probably knows what that is, which I find, I gotta say, it's a quirk of yours because I love pickles. What is it about them that you don't like? Is it a texture? Is it a taste? Is it the acidity? What is it about pickles you don't like?
I say it's everything. And I'm not even exaggerating. I really despise pickles. I always have my whole life. And it's not that I haven't tried pickles, because I've definitely tried pickles. Like, pickles, I just think that, I don't know, it's the taste. I think it's the texture. I like cucumbers.
Uh-huh.
Cucumbers, but cucumbers aren't pickles.
Does it matter if it's a kosher, a dill, a sweet? Does it matter? Is it just all pickles are nasty?
Well, you know, I would admit, I did this challenge in, I think it was St. Petersburg, and it was like a massive barbecue sandwich challenge. And that sandwich challenge had pickles on it. And I started with the pickles, and I think they were sweet tasting, and that's the only time ever in my life I've ever tasted a pickle and it didn't taste bad at all.
Dill pickles, I'm like, yeah, I could go without it, but sweet pickles, I could eat those out of the jar like candy. So I think it does kind of depend.
Yeah, I think Randy Santel trolled me on April Fool's.
I saw that.
Having me do a pickle challenge, and I really was going to try to eat the pickles. I had one, and it was just, I couldn't do it. I don't know how he did that whole jar.
All people, eaters in particular, we all have, you know, that kryptonite food where that food alone, if it's contained within the challenge to any degree, it's just like, it's game over. I'm that way with cream cheese and dairy. If there's any significant amount of that in there, it's game over. Even if I like the taste, it's just going to destroy me.
I could eat a brick of cream cheese if I had to.
The aftermath, I'm lactose intolerant, just destroys me for hours. It is not worth it. It's not worth it. What, if any, health concerns do you have with competitive eating in regards to yourself?
With regards to myself, well, I mean, eating massive amounts of food isn't technically healthy. I think we all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't plan to do, you know, this forever. Like, I like eating food. Like, I'm always going to eat food. You have to eat food in order to live.
Yeah.
As long as, I guess, I maintain my own health. Like, I'm going to the gym. I'm not eating, you know, shit every single day. Was I allowed to say shit? Okay.
You can...
I'm not eating, you know, garbage every day. And just as long as I'm just keeping my own health up, you know? My normal diet consists of, like, you know, this is so bodybuilding style, but like plain chicken, broccoli, sweet potatoes, things like that. Like, I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables.
Again, I want to point this out, doing my due diligence as a fitness professional. You, Eric, Randy, Natter, you know, you guys have all reflected that in some way, shape, or form, you've got this activity component, whether it's cycling, running, lifting, whatever it might be. You've got that, so you're active, burning calories. But then when you guys are not at the table doing these videos, you are eating much better than probably the average American, which, as I've said before, I think eating kind of shitty every day for the majority of the year is much worse than doing a challenge even once a week, once every other week, in the grand scheme of things. So I don't think it's as bad as people think relative to how the average American eats.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
I'll say it. It chaps my ass when somebody says, oh, they're going to have diabetes when they're an adult. They're going to have a heart attack. And it's like, how do you eat? You eat fast food 6 times a week. You eat processed crap every single day. How is that going to, you know, add up at the end of the year relative to this guy or gal who's actually eating really well,
and,
you know, 99% of the time?
Keep in mind that, you know, not only are the other people probably eating that 6 times a week, but they probably have no exercise with their daily habits.
You combine the two, you're inactive and you eat semi-crappy, you're in a much worse outcome on a bad path than somebody who does one challenge a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and they're active on a daily basis. Never bought into that. It angers me, honestly. It frustrates me to hear that.
Ooh, one last thing. You know, the popular question is, how do you stay in shape?
Yeah.
How do you stay in shape?
I've seen that one.
I've
seen that on all your guys' YouTube channels and wherever they can leave comments. It's always, how are you not 500 pounds? How do you stay in shape? That's like one of the most common questions you guys get.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, you know, exercise and diet.
Yeah,
pretty much it.
Alrighty, last question, Nate. What major factor do you hope that current and future followers take from your eating involvement in basically what you're doing, your platform? What unique factor or something that might not be apparent that you do want them to take away?
Okay, so I thought about this one, and have fun, you know what I mean? It's like, life isn't always serious. Like, for example, if you want to do a challenge, isn't it like, try it. You know, it's not going to kill you. You try it one time, you win, you lose. Just have fun with any experience in life.
It's not just the eating that you showcase, and I've said this before in the other videos. Anyone can just film themselves eating some food, but that would actually be weird and just boring, honestly, if that's all you did. But when you can have a little bit of your lifestyle show through and add kind of your own flavor and character and have fun with it, that makes it entertaining, and it's probably fun for you as the eater and the host to do it that way too, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because, you know, some people actually like just 100% eating. Like, and then I've had requests, well, can you, like, just do eating and not nothing else? I'm like, well, then that just wouldn't be me. I can never do a video where it's just me eating and there's nothing else involved in the video. No matter what, I would never be able to upload a video like that. I have to throw in my own humor or, you know, the way I do cinematography or, like, the drone footage or anything like that. I have to be able to do that or I just won't put up a video. I do it for me. The editing and stuff like that, I do that because I love to do that.
You start trying to do what other people want, and let's be honest, you don't become authentic, you start to become fake, and you lose that authenticity, and then you lose viewers. But because you do it the way that you do, people like me and others are drawn to that kind of a video to see those challenges, and you know, that's where you get your loyalty with it. So keep doing what you're doing.
Always.
Well, Nate, that's all I got for you here. Make sure you guys go over to downtofeast.com, that's dtfeast.com. Check out The Big Bite with Nate Figueroa. And Nate, let people know, where can they find more about you, any other platforms, emails, websites, if they want to learn more about you?
I want to say, if you want to find me, all you really have to do is put Nate Figs in like pretty much all the social media platforms and I'll pop up. Except Snapchat. Snapchat is NateFigs87. Someone took Nate Figs. Yeah, that's it. And I want to super thank you, Josh, and Down to Feast for having me on the podcast. I do really appreciate it.
Definitely. Well, we are glad to have you. It's been an honor. I will keep watching your videos, and let's stay in touch, man. You're ever in St. Louis for a challenge, you got a place right here to stay if you need to, man.
Oh, I'm going to hold you up to that. Expect a call from me.
Definitely. Well, folks, thanks for joining us, and until next time, I will see you later.